as I want to continue to preach in your hearing, as the old preachers used to say, the story of Jesus and the graveyard demons, the graveyard demoniacs, part four, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 623, since January the 20th, 2017, day 990, since January the 1st, 2016, Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of, I'm going to pronounce it my way today. I've been trying to pronounce it the other folks' way. It sounds kind of devilish the way they pronounce it, but anyway, Gergesenes. There met him two possessed with devils. Now, either this is true or it's not. And this is a true account. Coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Just yesterday, some people were out, I think, somewhere in Africa, and they were on a tour, and they were getting ready to go down a road, and a bunch of men, and probably demoniacs themselves, started chasing the vehicle. The person started driving backwards to get out of there, and they had machetes, and believe it or not, one of the men caught up with the vehicle. Two of them caught up with the vehicle with machetes. So we get the picture. These people did not want those folks in a vehicle to pass that way. And they ran so fast, they caught up with a speeding vehicle trying to get out of there. And it caught up so quickly that the person very smartly pulled, started driving forward real fast, and left them in the dust. By the grace of God, they escaped. People who are demon-possessed are very fierce, oftentimes very violent. Maybe some of the men that missionary tried to reach in there on that island out there. That's a modern-day picture of this. They don't even know what the man wants. They're just going to come out and just cut his head off and just kill him. Shoot him with a bow and arrow. He could have led them to the Lord and taught them a little English, and they could have been eating at McDonald's today. They don't even know what the man wants. He's trying to help them, but filled with demons, nobody can pass that way. People know, even the folks of India know, don't even go down there and bother those people. They're just going to shoot you. They're going to pull a bow and arrow out. They're not going to ask you any questions or try to communicate with you. They don't want to be bothered. Just like these graveyard demoniacs. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Son of God. If you don't know that Jesus is the Son of God, believe the testimony of the demons. They know. "Jesus, thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Not only we know who you are, but we know that you're going to torment us and punish us in the future for rebelling against you and God your Father. "And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding." Isn't that just like the devil? People are just going on along with their lives and sitting down at McDonald's, eating, better than that, Chipotle eating, a macaroni grill eating, and there's the devil looking at you. I want to possess them. Poor little pigs down there eating, minding their business, and here come the demons, driving them crazy. And he said unto them, Go. Jesus said, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fed and went their ways into the city, and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the demons. Jesus had come upon the scene. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Isn't that interesting? Jesus has delivered these demoniacs. Now people can pass by the graveyard. They can bury their people. They can go visit auntie and grandmama down in the graveyard and put flowers. Because the demon-possessed people have been freed, set free by Jesus. And then the swine were not even good to eat anyway, according to Jewish law. So he's there to help you get on a health kick as well. And they're mad. They just shook up too much quickly. So, you got to go, man. You got to go. You know, shook up the status quo. Jesus, you got to go. They're not concerned about the devil being gone. Now they're telling Jesus he needs to go. You know, messed up business. We knew they were demoniacs. We knew they were demon-possessed, but they, you know, you ever heard of the phrase, keep your enemies closer, we know who they are. Jesus, you're just shaking up the whole status quo. And you know, there are people in the world who don't want that shaken up. But when Jesus comes on the scene, that's what he's going to do. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your might and your power, your mercy, your grace, and your love upon human beings. And Lord, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for salvation full and free through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Empty us of ourselves, crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. And fill us, Lord, with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Once again, not only to preach your holy word, but to hear your holy word and to obey it. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in such a way that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived and encouraged. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, when the demons meet Jesus, they immediately begin asking questions. And you will find this among people who are demon-possessed even today. They always have a question. They always have something to say. They always have a response. They do not even act like they don't have the ability to be quiet. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? What are you here for? Why are you bothering us now? Judgment day is not yet, so why are you here? Are you here to torment us? Devils and demons quail in the presence of true power today. With Jesus on the scene, they know that only one thing is about to happen. In the great war between heaven and hell, good and evil, the demons are occupying contested ground. The minds, bodies, and souls of two men made in the image of God. And with Christ on the scene, they know they are about to be cast out, or worse. That is why the scene shifts suddenly in verse 30 to something happening a good way off. Matthew reports there was a good way off from them an herd of many swine feeding. So the demons besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." This is deeper than what we see on the surface. There are several important things to note here. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, it is the nature of the devil and demons to always be busy, always questioning and moving and asking and talking, running off at the mouth. Have you ever met a person who they can't quit talking, they just run off at the mouth all the time? There's probably a demon behind it. Can't take no for an answer. Always have to have the last word. Always got to say something under their breath. Satan's minions, unlike some Christians, refuse to be idle. They're constantly moving and shifting, shucking and jiving. If they can't possess a man, they will possess pigs. If they can't possess a man, they will oppress a man. What the demons thought they would do with pigs' bodies is unknown. But they got to go someplace else. They got to feel something else that's living. They've got to go and mess with somebody who's doing something for the glory of God. The devil is hell-bent on possessing, consuming, and using. Hell-bent. Hell-bent on it. This is in sharp contrast to God, who champions the free will of his creatures. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen, somebody. I tell folks all the time, God did not make me get saved. God led me by the power of his Holy Spirit. But he didn't push me to get saved. He was in the midst, he was in the mix. There's no doubt about it, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But not only that, since I have been saved, God has never made me do anything. I'm not preaching because I have to. I'm not preaching because I'm preaching every day because I'm trying to get saved. I'm preaching every day because I am saved. Amen, somebody. I like what C.S. Lewis delineated. He delineated this difference between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness in the Screwtape Letters. He wrote, and remember, this is the demon speaking now. Now, how C.S. Lewis wrote about a demon, I don't know, but he did. "One must face the fact that all the talk about God's love for men and his service being perfect freedom is not mere propaganda, but an appalling truth. He really does want to fill the universe with a lot of loathsome little replicas of himself, creatures whose life will be qualitatively like his own. not because he has absorbed them, but because their wills freely conform to his. We, the demons, want cattle who can finally become food. He wants servants who can finally become sons. We want to suck in. He wants to give out. We are empty and would be filled. He is full and flows over. Our war aim is a world in which Satan has drawn all other beings into himself. The enemy of God. The enemy. The enemy, that's the Satan speaking. God wants a world full of beings united to him, but still distinct. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a whole half of sermon to preach, but I have to shut it down now for reasons beyond my control. But before I leave you, if you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? Have you ever trusted Christ as Savior? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. If you want to be saved today, first accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. You're headed towards the grave, and so am I. Your body is breaking down, and so is mine. One day they're going to break down so much they're going to have to take you to the funeral home. Why? Because of sin. And our soul, when our body dies, our soul goes somewhere, either to heaven or hell. If we have trusted Christ as Savior, we go to heaven. If we have rejected Christ as Savior, we go to hell. And that leads me to my third point. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is bad news. Hell means torment and punishment and hellfire for eternity. You don't have to go to hell. I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And all you have to do is believe on Christ and trust him as your Savior, and you will live forever. You will go to heaven when you die. This is a guarantee found in the Bible. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you want to be saved today, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now, as someone led me in prayer 40 years ago. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins on the cross, was buried, and rose again, you have believed the gospel. Allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately. If you have a prayer request, please let us know that as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.